Last Sunday evening, I asked the question, how much time do you think about worshiping God before the worship service begins? And if you'll remember, I said, like, way before, you know, like Saturday night before. And then, do you think about it when you get up in the morning? When you get in the car and you're on the way here? And that question was related to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1, that warns us against a nonchalant, casual, indifferent attitude of our minds and hearts as we head into worship. And verse 1 says that we are to guard our steps and be more ready to hear. And since verse 1 was the first part of a two-part preparation, remember I said there are two parts in this, and it's the first part of a two-part, I want you to open up your Bibles again to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We're going to be reading verses 2 and 3, but first we'll read chapter 2, or verse 2. Ecclesiastes 5:2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Let thy words be few. Father, pray that you would use this to touch my heart, to make me mindful of who you are, what you are. That Lord, also use it in these folks' lives. Thank you for your encouragement on the feedback this week, how others have been working in that area in their lives. And it's always a blessing to know that you're getting the glory out of it. And we thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen. Tonight we're going to shift our attention from before arriving at church to what's going in our hearts and minds for the most part when we walk through those doors back there and we're actually here. In thinking about that, it hit me that oftentimes when I walk through those doors, maybe the outside doors or the inner doors, when I walk in here, my mind isn't usually where it's supposed to be. You ever had that experience? You walk through the doors, you're thinking about something else. When I come in, if you're like me, you take time to talk, to visit, and to encourage other people. And chances are, when our musicians start to play, you automatically say, hey, it's time to sit down. We're ready for church service. And that's the way I used to think. Then these two verses, as I got to reading them some time back and studying them, changed my natural way of thinking about worship. I have to constantly remember that doing what comes naturally isn't the best thing when I stand before God. You ever think about that? What comes natural to us usually is not the right way. Because what comes natural usually tends to be twisted because it's of our sinful nature. Isn't that right? I mean, what comes easiest to us isn't necessarily the best way that we handle things. And sin is so natural that we continue to worship wrongfully while by nature we're convinced it's right. We've been doing it this way all along. And what I'd like to have to do is sort of ask the Lord, help me as I'm listening to what your word is saying, so that I may make the adjustments I have to make in my life as I come to worship the Lord. Here in Ecclesiastes 4:2, it says, be not rash with thy mouth, nor let thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. And as we look at that, the verse is saying that we have a tendency of rushing in and being hasty to what we are thinking or saying when we come in to service. We oftentimes will come in and we think that we're doing right when in fact our minds aren't where they're supposed to be. It's saying that we oftentimes unconsciously rush into God's presence before we pause to prepare our hearts for worship through quiet reflection. In other words, when I come in and I sit down, I may have a half a dozen things on my mind and I'm not prepared for worship because I'm thinking somewhere else. My mind is somewhere else. We'll be looking at that in a little while. Now notice at the end of verse 2, it says, "For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few." Now, we have to take a look at that. The end of verse 2 suggests that our reflections or our meditations flow in two paths. Now, scripturally, it says the first path that it flows in, it's towards heaven. It's towards God. Think about God. He's in heaven. That ought to adjust our mental attitudes. Really. You stop and think. I'm going to sit down, and as soon as I fix my mind, my thinking upon God, that ought to change what I'm thinking a bit. It ought to take my mind away from my self-centeredness and put it onto His awesomeness, all that He is. For the most part, when I walk into sanctuary, I have to remind myself that I'm in God's house. Now, I know it's just a building. You know it's just a building. That's part of our problem. We think it's just a building, but we come here to worship. And we have to come with a mindset that God is present here. And I have to come with an attitude that God wants me to have Him at the forefront of my mind. And it's not like a lot of, when I come in, I can't come in with an attitude that, oh well, I've got work this next week. Man, I wish it wasn't going to rain Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday because we've got a deck to paint. We've got to wait till at least next Thursday or Friday. If I come in with that mindset, am I thinking about God? That's where my mind isn't. My mind isn't upon God. It's upon what I'm doing. And that's what I'm not here for. I'm here to worship God. When we enter to worship, it's necessary to recognize that we are in God's presence. He's the one who created all things, right? When we come in, do we think about His power? I mean, you know, think about it. Do you think about God's power? That He sovereignly opened up His mouth and spoke, and everything that there is came into being. All He had to do was say it. Do we think about His knowledge? Everything that He knows? How about everything that He knows about me? About you? He knows everything about you. Do we think about that? I mean, He knows not only, He knew you before you were formed, He knows your end from your beginning. He knows what's going through your mind right now. Do we think about His presence? That He engulfs everything. In Him we dwell and live and have our being. That His Spirit is in this place. And that what we do right here will either honor Him or will detract from Him. That ought to quiet our hearts as well as our tongues sometimes. That when we enter into His place of worship, we need to be aware of His presence with us. We ought to have a reverence and an awe for God. In Psalms 99, 1 through 3, it says, "The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubim," and the picture is of the ark. And even in heaven, the idea is that you've got the cherubim that are around Him. In the Ark of the Covenant, you've got these cherubim that are over Him. And He's there. That's where He is. In His holiness, let all the earth be moved or shaked or quaked. Why? Because He's there. The Lord is great in Zion, and He is high or exalted above all the people. Let them praise the great and terrible or awesome name, for it is holy. See, when we come into God, we are to worship Him. And to worship Him, we must look up. Secondly, though, if you'll notice, it says we're looking to heaven because he's there, but thou upon earth, that therefore thy words be few. In other words, second, after thinking about God, we're to think about ourselves or what's going on down here. The model prayer is our Father who art in heaven, and later on it says, give us this day our daily bread. The image is God's first and we're second. May I suggest, if you want to sober up real quickly about your attitude towards worship, look at yourself. So look inside yourself. Bow your head. Let's practice it right now. Bow your head. Everybody bow your head. And ask God to show you something about yourself that is not pleasing to Him right now. You get a picture of that? Okay, look up here. I don't want to know what it is. That's up. Here's the exercise. When we come into God's presence, we aren't pure, are we? We're really not holy. We come into God's presence here, we come in defiled. Defiled in thought. Defiled in action. We are not prepared when we come through those doors. Even if you took all of those fine steps that we talked about last week and everything is clicking nice, but still when we come in, we don't come in pure and holy. And we need to take that time and bow our heads and our hearts before God and say, okay, Lord, you see me like I really am. I am not that perfect person that I want to be. I'm not that good-looking guy I want to be, or that, you know, that good person that, you know, that you would have me be. And so when we come in, we need to have that attitude. It's not that we can't visit, but when we need to be able to sit down and quiet our hearts and prepare our spirits, our inner beings, to receive God's word. And that's the only way it works. If you'll keep your finger right there, turn over to Psalms 24:3 real quick. Psalms 24:3. And the reason that this is the reason I say this, because in Psalms 24:3 it says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? And the answer is, he who hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted his soul up in vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Now, if you were to come up and look at my Bible, right on the very edge here, it says, not me. I'm not verse number 4. It says, only in Christ who qualifies me. See, I have no right to go before God because I'm impure. I'm unclean. But only in Christ do we have that. And God's word and our experience confirms that not one of us qualify under these perfect requirements. There's not one of us who can go over and say, Lord, here I am. You know, listen to me. I'm such a great person. You know, I've done all of these things this week. You know, I've kept all the rules. You know, I've been the good person you want me to be. It doesn't work that way. Because it's not our righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ that allows us to go into his presence. And these two verses imply that every one of us must confess our sins and ask forgiveness in order to clean our lives up and clean our attitudes and our hearts. God wants us to worship Him, but we need His grace, and to do so, that takes time. It takes time for us to look at ourselves. Even if it's just a minute or two to sit down and say, Lord, I know I don't have to put it together. I know I blew it this afternoon. I blew it this morning on the way. Something's not right. Lord, help me. Prepare my heart to receive you and for me to give back to you, because worship is giving to God so that I can give you my heart, give you my life, and do what is present in your sight. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The water is the word of God. Lord, I want to love you. I want to worship you. But I confess, without Christ there And without your word tending my heart up, I can't do it. And so we come to him. Ecclesiastes 5:3 says, "For a dream cometh but through a multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words." A number of months ago when this started coming in on top of me, I started reading this. I read that verse, I can't tell you how many times. I have no idea. I kept reading it, and I read it over and over, and I kept asking myself, what does this verse have to do with worship? And finally, I got smart enough, and I said, "Lord, what does this verse have to do with worship?" And he showed me. In many ways, life today is really no different than it was 3,000 years ago. The understanding of this verse really swings on two words. It swings on the word dream and business. In the context, we're talking about worship. And a dream may be more like daydreaming. Okay? Let me ask you a question. Have any of you daydreamed in church service? Well, I see some smiling, I see some going like this, and I see some that's sitting and rigid, and I'm not going to tell you. Yeah, you know, I have. It's talking about daydreaming. You know, having a difficult time concentrating on the worship service because your mind is distracted on something else. We talked about that at lunch today. Steve Lawton and I were eating lunch, and he was talking, and he was telling me about a struggle that he had. "Hey, you know, I've got this list. All of a sudden, I'm worshiping, and this list comes up with 5, 6, or 7 things on it." Ever had that experience? Dean, you're saying, "Uh-huh." Yeah. Kate is saying, "Uh-huh." Yeah. You know what that's about? Sure. I know what that's about. Part of that is Satan's help. You know, he keeps those lists going on us. Maybe you caught yourself talking to yourself about what's going on in life. And then you find yourself answering yourself after you've talked to yourself. Maybe it's a problem with someone you worked with, a boss or employee or employees. I used to have 31 painters. I talked to myself a lot about 31 painters. Possibly it's something that's not working right and it's driving you nuts. Maybe it's an earlier conversation with somebody, or somebody's making noise, or playing with their cell phone, or playing with something in the church, in the pews next to you, you know, sitting in the seats next to you. They're playing with it. It's driving you nuts. All kinds of things get to us. But when it takes our minds away from what God is trying to tell us, it becomes a distraction. And we don't follow the Lord. We don't worship the Lord in that way. "For a multitude of dreams and many words, there is also vanity, emptiness," in verse 7 below. "But fear God." The word fear has to do not only with emotional reaction or standing before God, but it has to do with a reverence and awe. It has to do with our godly response. When we sit and we hear God's word, do we respond in a awesome attitude towards God? Do we see God in all of His power and what He wants to do out of that in our lives? And that's where the worship comes. It's being in God's presence. And by the way, in the immediate context in verse 7 there, where I read, "For in a multitude of dreams and many words, there is also many vanities," or a lot of emptiness, "but fear thou God." While this has in a context, and we have to remember we're in context now. Verses 1 through 3 is one context. Verse 4 through 8 is another. Verse 4 through 8 has to do with making promises to God. "God, I'm in trouble. Get me out of this and I'll do." Right? You ever had that experience? "Lord, I didn't have enough time to study because I was eating pizza and doing some other things, so help me get this test done. You know, I'm in finals this week." Boom. You know, big one. "And I didn't study hard for a whole 3 months. Now I've got to cram it all in. Lord, I promise I'll work hard all next year if you give it, you know, give me the grace this year. Lord, I just promise to straighten up my act. if you just get me over this speed bump in my life. And those are the vows that we oftentimes make. But the problem is that whatever verse 3 Numbers says, it's when we come before God in our own minds, full of our own business, our daydreams and our personal preoccupations, we're not worshiping God. That's the whole point. When we let these other things come between us and God, we're really not worshiping Him. When we are focusing on our world, whatever we sing or whatever we say, when we sit there and we're singing and we're mouthing the words, the music's coming through because we know it, but we're not thinking about what the words are saying, we're not worshiping. Does that sound real? Does that sound where some of us have been? It does for me, because I've been there. It's easy to become sidetracked. See, worship really is nothing more than turning our minds and hearts towards God and saying, I want to give you all that I have, my attention on all that I am right now, because you're the center of my life right now. That's what worship is. So when we come through the door, we have to come through with a mindset of saying, God, you are to be the center of my life. That's what I am here for, to bring awe and glory to you. Now, how do we do that? What steps must we take to switch the mental and the emotional gears to avoid what I call the disaster of foolish worship? Here are some ideas to plug into your thinking and maybe into your week coming up. Number one, arrive enough time ahead to allow you parents who have kids to go to get the kids to wherever they have to go and to be able to visit a few minutes before you need to find your reserve seat, you know, the one that you paid your lease on for this year. By the way, when Pastor Dan gets here, I'm going to say this, when Pastor Dan gets here, for the first month, don't move around. Okay? I know some of you, I don't have any fear. You know, Dell, you and Linda have been sitting in those seats for 2.5 months. You know, yeah, that would be no problem. But after about a month and a half or 2 months, and he's got you located, you want to play game room? Play musical chairs. Move. He'll come up to you and say, hey, I missed you this week. Where were you? I played that game too. But take time to prepare your hearts for praising Him and receiving Him in your soul. Now, I understand that getting kids in and out of bed and all of that, you know, I know that. That's why last week we talked about setting priorities and getting yourself out in advance. And if you want a good testimony on that, talk to Steve and Jen Lawton. They went to that this morning. Fantastic testimony, but they were here 10 minutes alone by themselves this morning. But it does work. Here's the point. We need to get here early enough to be able to say to everybody that we see, hey, it's great to see you. Good to hear what's going on in your life. Praise the Lord. But you need to be in your seat 2 or 3 minutes before we start. Because you need to bow your head and quiet your heart before God. You'll be surprised what it does to your spirit to be able to, when you do that, to be able to lift your heart to the Lord and to worship Him and to receive His Word in your life. Second, take a minute to bow your head and close your eyes, shut out the noise around you, and ask God to show you how great and holy He is and how gracious He and merciful He has been to you all week. Maybe just the morning, the day. Because we're here to lift Him up. Third, this is a bulletin from last week. We didn't use them this week. It has 3 scripture readings on it. Take one of those scripture readings. Open it up in your Bible and look at it and just read through it and say, Lord, when you get it on Sunday morning, you open it up and you look at it and say, Lord, speak to me out of this. And read it over. Let Him quiet your heart. You know, don't try to exegete it. Just ask Him for a devotional heart out of that experience. So you can acknowledge and know what He has for you. And then, this one, take a few minutes for a silent individual prayer during or after the call of praise. The call of praise is there to draw our attention to God. That's why we came. It's to focus our eyes above, not below. We're to set our hearts on things above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. And the call of praise is an anthem to lift up your spirits, to lift up your heart to that. And when that happens, ask God in your heart, Lord, exalt yourself through my heart today in the service. Speak to me so I may return all that you have for me to you. See, preparation is critical. Because when you start yesterday and you let it flow through this morning and you come through the doors and your mind isn't filled with a lot of the war that's gone on that could go on at home. Frustration getting everybody moving, getting everybody here. And then you come in and you're able, you dropped it on the way and you come in and you loved everybody. And you come and you sit down and you turn your heart to the Lord. You are ready to love Him. And that's what you came for. You came to love the Lord. Because that's what you called. God's called you to love Him. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And you're to love your neighbor as yourself. But you're to give yourself to God. It's absolutely critical that we have that preparation in our own lives before we arrive and after we arrive, because it is the on-off button to your heart of worship. Watch it. You'll see that if you sit down and your heart isn't prepared, you will have a difficult time finding the on button to worship the Lord. Right? Think about it. Father, thank you for the opportunity we've had to look at just a little bit of preparation that would prepare our hearts and our minds to see you, to worship you. Father, we so desire to be your children, to do what is right in your eyes to please you. We so desire, Lord, to be obedient, to follow your word, to be your kind of people. Pray, Father, that what we've shared today and last week would be lasting in our own hearts and lives as we exercise it, as we work, exercise ourselves unto godliness, as we work in our own personal lives to do what is right. We thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.